watch your waist, huh? You got a phone, pick it up, call me.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more? We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we hug no more. And I heard it through the grapevine, we even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, ain't a damn thing changed.
Kof at the Kof, man. It is no holds barred. Today's program, we are bringing the heat. We are bringing the fire. On the program today, we've got ATP Tour Tennis. Stefanos Tsitsipas takes out the season-ending title in London. We've got Federation Cup. Australia find a way to lose to the French. We've got some NFL action, scores from over the weekend. And we've got NBA action. LeBron James is tearing the league apart. How is the Battle of Los Angeles going? It's an action-packed show on today's program. This is No Holds Barred.
After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, ain't a damn thing changed.
It was my dream at first to be on, spitting the verse on my own album with a deal, but shit got worse.
So I came out, I would've killed the nigga first before I let him disrespect me or check me over some worse. Some bitch that I was.
And we are back. Settle in, settle in, settle in. We have got an action-packed show. Good to be back on the airwaves. Plenty to talk about on today's episode. No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. Your host, Jade Kof, at the Kof Man. And plenty going on in the sports world. Great game. This afternoon, Celtics and Clippers. More about that soon. Clippers get through in overtime. Celtics look impressive. No Gordon Hayward today, but I'll tell you what, they're going to win their 55, possibly 60 games out east. Not too sure if they'll have enough to get through Giannis and the Bucks. That guy is in absolute beast mode right now. And over a seven-game series, I'm not too sure they have what it takes to stop him. They have plenty of troops to throw at him, that's for sure. But it was a good one there on ESPN earlier on. Clippers got out of trouble. They were in a lot of strife, trailed by 10 in the fourth, but some breakdowns by the Celtics late, but both teams going pretty well. Clippers moved to 10-5, Celtics 10-3, I believe, on the year. And look, they've started well. Yeah, a little bit more about that here soon. We're going to touch on a little bit of NFL action. Lamar Jackson continues to light up the league. Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, he has jumped out to MVP favorite after his last couple of weeks. He's been nothing short of amazing. As Russell Wilson, Tom Brady and the Patriots still ticking along very nicely. They play the Cowboys in what will be a blockbuster coming up this weekend. We have ATP Tour Tennis. We've got the Federation Cup. We're going to start the show off talking about that. And we're going to wrap up the show with our NBA segment. LeBron James continuing to power his way through the league. We're going to touch on how he's doing that, how the Lakers are looking, and we're also going to touch on the Houston Rockets once again. They went down to the Denver Nuggets today quite comfortably. The Nuggets took care of business. They're going about their business quietly, and they are going to be thereabouts when the whips are cracking later on in the season. We'll touch a little bit on James Harden. We've got a Kof face segment, and we're going to keep it in Australia for the Kof face segment. We've got a little bit of National Rugby League action to talk about, and it's not what you probably think it is. We're going to talk about the off-season and what seems to be a regular occurrence in the off-season of the NRL. And it's probably not good for the reputation of the league, but I'll tell you what, it is highly entertaining. And every time the off-season rolls around, there is plenty of action for all the wrong reasons. We're going to touch on that, so stay tuned for the Coalface segment a little bit later on in the show. But we're going to start off with Federation Cup, and it was the French who got the victory over the rampaging favourites Australia over there in Perth on a slow blue hard court. And look, it's the one that really got away from Australia. Ashleigh Barty coming in, number one player in the world. She started very, very well. The tie was tied up at one match apiece. We went into day two, only two day events. Day two, and Barty went down in a heartbreaker, 7-6 in the third set. Alia Tomljanovic came in and got the victory to tie it up at 2-2. And then the doubles was an absolute disaster. Sam Stosur and Ashleigh Barty, and the girls were thoroughly outplayed by the French pair. Garcia did a great job to bounce back after her diabolical performance against Barty, not even winning one single game. I don't know what was going on there, but an embarrassing scoreline, that's for sure. And they just played better doubles there at the end, and absolutely heartbreaking for Australia to lose that. Stosur and Barty going down 6-4, 6-3 in the doubles tie, losing the tie 3-2 to France. And I'm just going to say, in terms of the location of the tie and the surface being played over there in Perth on a slow hard court, I really think if Australia do the proper thing, play the tie in Melbourne at High Sense Arena on a traditional grass court, I think they, there's no doubt about it, that they get the victory on home soil and win their first Fed Cup in 45 years. But with Perth losing the Hotman Cup this year, with the ATP Cup, which is going to be taking place in Adelaide and Sydney, the new teams event, where it's country-based and not individual-based, it's got a bit of a team-based concept. The first time it's been introduced will be this January in 2020. I believe the location of the tie over there in Perth was basically a little bit of politics involved. And, you know, coming in, with Ashleigh Barty finishing the year world number one, winning the lucrative season-ending championships in China, pocketing well over $6 million. Coming in, she wins both her matches, and Australia win that tie. But playing it on a slow hard court really brought her back to the pack, especially in that decisive rubber against Mladenovic, I believe it was. And losing 7-6 in the third set really threw a curveball into the tie. Now, Tomljanovic was able to get Australia back on track and get to 2-2, but you could see both girls were very, very tight, both Barty and Stosur, in that third and decisive, fifth and decisive rubber. And they pulled up terribly short. It's an absolute heartbreaker. And look, bad decisions have been made from the get-go in terms of the location of the tie, the surface. I think having the home court advantage and losing it at home in the final is what's really unacceptable. And you look at the choice of surface, I believe the blue hard court was the least, blue slow hard court was the least favorable for our team, for our roster, for our girls. For the Australian team. And you look at a clay surface, Barty, the current French Open champion, Stosur's made two French Open finals. And, clay may have been a more favourable surface for our team, for our style. But definitely grass, a slow traditional, a fast traditional grass court where the ball stays low and Barty could utilize her world-class slice backhand, definitely gets the job done. So very disappointing. Congratulations to Julien Beneteau and the French team. They probably came over here with no expectations and probably thought, oh, we've got to travel to Australia for this final. We're going to get our butt kicked. You know, but all their Christmases came at once when the surface was chosen, and they just went with the surface that that they have over there at the Perth Arena, and it turned out to be, look, Australia got complacent. They got complacent. They lost their edge. They got lazy with their decision making behind the scenes, the truth is they made poor decisions, and it cost them the Federation Cup, and it's something that you do not get back, a home tie in the Fed Cup, and with changes to the format, I believe, moving forward, that is the last opportunity that Australian team will have to win it. An absolute heartbreaker. Should never have happened, but when you make the wrong decisions behind the scenes leading into the tie, and it is not pure and it's not truth, you get found out, and that's what happened to the Australian team in this one here. Disappointing, but congratulations to the French, and the Australian women have to pick themselves up and move on. And season 2020, new challenges, new formats, and world tennis is changing. Not too sure it is for the better, but it is changing nonetheless. And as we know, if you do not like change, you're going to be one very, very unhappy human being. This is Jade Kolff at The Kolff Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. Yep. Decision making. It's a skill. And they got that one wrong, got complacent. And complacency makes you vulnerable. And it went the French way, and you don't get that one back. Tough one to round out the season for Tennis Australia and the women's national team. Sticking to tennis, we are moving on to the men's side of things. And just last week, Stefanos Tsitsipas shocked the world and won the season-ending ATP Tour Championships over there in London. And got to admit, didn't see this coming at all. And, well, he just played fantastic tennis when it mattered most. He took out the great Roger Federer in the semi-final quite comfortably, the scoreline. But another match from Roger where just had countless breakpoint opportunities, 13 breakpoint opportunities, I believe it was. And he converted one of 13 breakpoint opportunities, where Tsitsipas, the Greek youngster, converted his breakpoints. I believe he only had probably four breakpoints, I think it was, and converted two, possibly three of those. Very similar match to the Australian Open fourth round contest, where Federer went down in four sets, and he just had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and could not close at all. Very similar in the second set. Federer, you could see the frustration, and he just basically boiled over. And really disappointing for Roger there. But we've seen this before time and time again, creating countless opportunities and not closing it out. And Tsitsipas played with plenty of fire and played with no fear, and he got through to the final. The other semi-final, Dominic Thiem took out big Alex Zverev in straight sets. A great event from Team. He took out Novak Djokovic in the round robin format. And Djokovic not going through, losing to Dominic Thiem, and Roger Federer picked him apart as well. Novak, a comfortable win over the Italian Berrettini, who was there for the first time. He was a little bit out of his depth, and it's a big step up. And in the other, the other half, Dominic Thiem and Zverev got through. Nadal thought he'd done enough, coming back from 5-1 down to get through over Medvedev. And he also had a win over Tsitsipas, which was a long three-setter. But then Zverev come out and took care of business. And Nadal missed out. So he's currently in Madrid for the new formatted Davis Cup format over there, a week-long extravaganza of tennis. Now, there's been plenty of talk about that. We'll touch on that, not on today's show, but later on in the week as that event starts to come to a close. But, you know, the final was an absolute all-timer with Tsitsipas and Dominic Thiem. Both guys, I did point out, three of the four semi-finalists there in London all have one-handed backhands. So a real win there for those that love seeing one-handers as opposed to the... I guess the more popular or the more widely used two-hand backhand at the professional level of the game. But it was a win for the attacking one-hander, and Tsitsipas and Thiem have two of the most, I guess you could say, stylish one-hand backhands in the world. And you know, this match was an all-timer, went back and forth, and in the end, it was Tsitsipas who held his nerve in the tiebreak. You could really see he really stuck to his patterns of play, and at 4-all in the third set tiebreak, he directed all his attention to the Dominic Thiem forehand, and it was three forehand errors from Thiem, which he'll be bitterly disappointed with. He missed an unforced error long at 4-all and then a really long and you know, physical point. He made another forehand into the net, and then Tsitsipas' second serve went out to the forehand of Dominic Thiem, and Thiem caught it late. Was so tight on that forehand side, and the ball never even went close. And just like that, Tsitsipas was the new ATP Tour season-ending champion. And it's a shock. 21 years of age, he's had a great year. I believe four titles on the ATP Tour. And yeah, a really, really, I guess you could say it's a shock win to round out the season for the men, the individual season. As I said, Davis Cup going on right now. But Tsitsipas won where... You know, he's definitely a threat. He's definitely a threat for slams now. Best of five is different. We do know that over 2 weeks. And it's still Nadal, Djokovic, and the great Roger Federer, who until someone's able to break through other than those three to win a major, the talk will still be those three guys. You know, the best of three format, completely different to the slams. And Tsitsipas, well-deserved, winning the ATP Tour championships. What I do like about this young guy, look, he's got very positive body language, that's for sure. He just oozes confidence out there on the court, and he loves the fight. You know, he's very, very well-spoken. He has the confidence in himself. That's for sure. And mentally, very, very switched on. Loved what he did tactically in each one of his matches there. He's a real student of the game, and he knew exactly what to do when the heat was on. And he directed the traffic, the majority of the traffic, to the Dominic Thiem forehand. And eventually it was the forehand that broke down from the Austrian. And Tsitsipas getting the title there in London. So very, very well deserved. He's got a lot of physical tools, and the forehand has improved out of sight from 18 months ago, as well as the serve. And that backhand is a thing of beauty, can come over it with huge power, can slice, can come forward as well. Very, very good at the net, technically very sound, and he is a super athlete as well, moves well, can play both defense and attack. He's just about very close to the total package. I still don't think the serve is of the absolute elite level, and I'm not too sure the forehand is, even though it has improved. There's less errors off that side, and he is upgrading, running around the backhand and upgrading to the forehand as much as possible, which is definitely the modern game at the highest level. But congratulations, Stefanos Tsitsipas. The Australian Open will roll around here very, very quickly in January, and he's one to look out for. Very curious to see how Tsitsipas and the other next-gen players can transition into the best of five. It's right there for them, but the best of five sets is a totally different animal, and so is Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. Over the long distance, they've shown it time and time again, and until they are knocked off over the five-set format, we will continue to not really expect and pump up these guys that much, because as we know, the Grand Slams are where it matters. But Stefanos Tsitsipas, top 10 player, new champion, ATP Tour season-ending champion, and congratulations to him. This is No Holds Barred. Yep, Tsitsipas. I will be honest, I did not see that coming. I did not see him winning back-to-back elite level matches like that. Didn't see him coming out of the group stage. But he wins it all. So he may have arrived. He may be on the cusp of breaking through. Still just 21, so exciting times for world tennis with some pressure on the big three. I'm going to segue on to some NFL football, and the Baltimore Ravens continue to march on with that man, Lamar Jackson, at quarterback. The multifaceted, multidimensional, dynamic quarterback, and he continues to get the job done, and they are looking very, very good. We do continue to talk about that possible matchup once again between Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots, and the Baltimore Ravens. They are on a collision course there in the AFC. They're the two teams that look most likely. Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they are really hot and cold. Patrick Mahomes been injured, just working his way back in. So they're a little bit more unsettled than what they were there last year. But it's Brady. It's still Brady and the Patriots. They are looking look very, very good. You know, the receiving core that the Patriots have, they really don't have a whole lot. But look, their defense, absolutely elite defense, elite coaching, elite quarterback play, and that's what you need. Time and time again, the Patriots continue to get the job done. They always seem to go through a little bit of a poor patch kind of mid-season, and they're sort of going through that right now. A little bit of even though they've only lost the one game, I mean, let's be honest here, they are still going well. But Brady's got no one to throw the ball to, and you know, but with the coaching, the elite coaching, you know, they find a way. They've got that elite defense, and as long as they're in games, but the Ravens, they look like a real threat to this Patriots outfit. Lamar Jackson, He's doing it all. He's improving week in, week out, throwing the football. We know his running power. He's as explosive as ever, as dynamic as ever. Really, he's the best that we've seen do this since the enigmatic Michael Vick, Mick Vick. And yeah, it's exciting stuff, that's for sure. Russell Wilson with the Seattle Seahawks, they had an absolute belter of a contest with the San Francisco 49ers, that one going to overtime, and Russell Wilson single-handedly continues to get it done for this Seahawks outfit. There are 8-2, and Wilson MVP favorite at this stage. So as the NFL season continues to progress, the out-and-out contenders are starting to shorten. You're looking at the Seattle Seahawks, Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson. Those guys are flying. Brady and the Patriots. Looking at the Saints, New Orleans Saints. They're ticking along nicely. Drew Brees, the Hall of Fame quarterback. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they remain dangerous. But really, outside of that, it's really hard to find, teams that really can get the job done at the business end. San Francisco 49ers, they looked like Super Bowl favorites there 3 weeks ago, but starting to show some cracks, and it is a long season. Big contest coming up this weekend, Brady and the Patriots against Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Cowboys still the biggest brand in all of the NFL, really in all of pro sports, I think. I think on Forbes magazine, they were the most expensive franchise if you were in the market to buy. So, the Cowboys are just a great brand. They're not elite this year. They haven't had that much success since Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith days back in the day. But, they're hanging on at 6-4. They play Brady and the Patriots. That is going to be all eyes on that contest. Monday Night Football, it should be a beauty. The ratings will be absolutely sky high for that one there. But we'll keep you posted on how that one goes down here at No Holds Barred. And the NFL season, some of those teams are starting to separate themselves, and the Super Bowl winner will be in one of those 6-7 teams. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are also dangerous just because of Aaron Rodgers' quarterback ability. But some of those teams, as I said, the Ravens and especially the Patriots, I think those guys are a class above. And Wilson, MVP favorite for the Seattle Seahawks. He's having an outstanding season. NFL, we'll bring it to you on the next episode, and especially the Cowboys and the New England Patriots should be a beauty. Monday Night Football, not to be missed. Up next, we are going to bring you the Coalface. Yes, the heat and the hammer will be dropped on the Coalface. We are talking NRL offseason. Yep, the NRL off-season, highly entertaining, but a big concern for league chief Todd Greenberg. More about that after the break. This is Jade Colfe at The Colfe Man. This is No Holds Barred. Oh yeah, you got to love this time of the year. We've got the NFL. Teams are starting to settle. They're starting to settle, and the best teams starting to separate themselves. And it gets more and more edgy as the playoffs approach. And you got those games where, must-win games, otherwise teams fall out. So it gets super intense. And the NBA season, we're about 12 to 15 games in. So it's awesome. It's plenty going on. And we'll get to the NBA after this segment here. But great time of the year for American sports as they as they cross over. In saying that, we're going to segue on to the next segment, and it is the Colf Face. Yes, it's the Colf Face, where we talk about a particular topic that is creating concern, and this one's been on the agenda for a while, and there has been a real push to have this one on the show. People have been talking about it out there. They've been saying, surely it's got to go on the Colf Face, and today is the day. And we are talking about the National Rugby League competition. And as we know, when the off-season rolls around in the Australian sports, the AFL, Australian Football League, and the NRL, the Rugby League, the National Rugby League competition, athletes and players have got more time than they do, obviously, throughout the year. And, you know, throughout the year, they are obviously full-time training. The sports have become full-time now. Back in the, you know, even upwards of the early 90s, there was still, you know, you'd play your sport on a Saturday, whether it was the AFL or whether it was, you know, the rugby league in the national competition. And some guys still had jobs during the week. I definitely know it was going on in the 80s and then even in the early 90s. And then came the professionalism and the full-time professionalism with contracts going up, salaries going up. And what this has done has caused real problems in the off-season. And every year it seems to be the same thing with the NRL, with the National Rugby League. Now, don't get me wrong, the AFL, they have some issues every so often with players. They go away on holidays, you know, they get on the drink, they party, they let their hair down, and casualties are inevitable. And, you know, this is not just an NRL thing. It can be an AFL thing too, but the NRL, I think, is clearly in front and clear cut when it comes to behavior in the off-season. And once again, this has been... it's been like the Wild West once again in Sydney for the National Rugby League Code, and CEO and Rugby League boss Todd Greenberg, every week or every other week, he's in the paper because there's another issue of an NRL player or an NRL star who, whether it's here in Australia or... There's been a couple of instances over in Asia, over on holidays. Boys are on the gas, boys are on the sauce, on the drink, going hard, you know, fighting in nightclubs, beating up security guards. It is just absolutely nonstop, out of control, and it is getting ridiculous. People are tired of it. As I said earlier on in the show, highly entertaining, absolutely highly entertaining. And some of the stupidity that you read about that some of these players, some of the situations that they get themselves into is absolutely ridiculous. There's been instances so far this off-season, more often than not, you know, younger guys, 20, 21 years of age, 22 years of age, that are just absolutely out of control. And at what stage do you, does the league really take responsibility? I know you cannot follow these guys around and you can't control them. They're left to their own volition. They're left to their own decisions, and that's the problem. Because, you know, most of the time they're not educated. They play a brutal sport. They're highly paid. And then when they have too much time on their hands, what do they do? Well, there's not much else you can do if you're not working and you don't have a traditional 9-to-5 job. You've got time on your hands, and what does that normally mean when you when you're a male, you know, a young male? It means, well, let's get on the booze with the boys. Nothing wrong with that, but you know, it just gets out of control. Let's gamble, let's punt. Really looking for stuff to do, just to, because there's no structure now during the season. Obviously, you have training. You have, you know, you have your off days, you have recovery, training, you have games. It's very routine and very structured. But when that off season rolls around and they've got, you know, that 10, 12, 13, 14 weeks of downtime before preseason, that's when it is absolute chaos, and it's consistently going on in the NRL. And you know, what can they do to stop players getting absolutely out of control? Because it's only a matter of time before someone dies. It really is. It has been. It is like the Wild West. Highly entertaining, as I said, and you get a real similar situation over in the NFL during the off season there. But you just—it's just at a whole new level in terms of the money that they have access to. You're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the trouble that they get into with booze, with drugs, with violence. It is unbelievable, and we are seeing some of it here in Australia with our own codes, especially with the rugby league, and. It has been a tumultuous off-season for league headquarters and Todd Greenberg. I don't know what he can do moving forward, but it is out of control, and players need to really take a good look at themselves because, look, as I said, you know, I'm really not judging, you know, what players do. It's just concerning because it's only a matter of time before somebody gets absolutely seriously hurt, and when I say that seriously hurt, I mean like lose a life. There's some players there during this off season here just recently that you saw photos of them banged up in hospital with severe injuries, and you know they've got to go into massive rehabilitation just to get back out there on the park. And players need to ask the question, like, is it really worth it? Isn't it best just to keep low key? Stay focused, stay grounded, stay humble, and not put your life at risk. It's going on time and time again, and we've got to bring it up here on the Coalface. The NRL Integrity Unit, the NRL Player Welfare, they've got to put some parameters in place to protect the players and the athletes from themselves, because clearly they can't do it for themselves, and someone is seriously going to get hurt. This is Jade Colf for the Colf Man. This is No Holds Barred. Well, the question's got to be asked, what can you do? I mean, what can you do? People are probably going, well, there's nothing you can do. You can't control these players. Well, no, I'm not disagreeing. You're absolutely correct. But someone's going to die, and I think it's only a matter of time. And as I said, highly entertaining, but the safety of these athletes and these players, it's got to be seriously looked into, because they can't get out of their own way. And it's unfortunate, but yeah, they just have too much time on their hands. When they haven't got that structure, they haven't got that routine, it is absolute pandemonium and chaos. And only a matter of time before someone is severely, not only injured, but they lose a fatality. There you go. A fatality will occur. Mark my words. NBA action. Some cracking games today on ESPN. As I said earlier on the program, it was the Celtics and the Clippers in a beauty at the Staples Center. The Celtics looked the goods for 3.5 quarters, playing some tremendous ball, and it was the first time that the Clippers had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the floor together. They looked good. It was Patrick Beverley who really kept them in the game. He's been diabolical from long range throughout the season thus far, only making 1 of 15 threes. He made 4 of 5 in today's contest. He was left open on quite a few, and he stepped up and made them. And it was scrappy Beverley with his, you know, with his defense. He's known as a defensive stalwart. He got in there and played hard. Marcus Smart for the Celtics was also very good as well. Those two guys, very, very similar players. And it was a good contest. Jason Tatum was impressive for the Celtics. He's a smooth operator, is Tatum. And look, I really believe he's their marquee guy. Kemba Walker struggled for three quarters, got going in the fourth, but it was a tough day at the office for him. The Clippers' defense, it stood up today. They were impressive, that's for sure. It was a good contest with two teams that are going to be in the mix, both in the Eastern and the Western Conferences, no doubt about that. And the Clippers got over the line in a beauty in overtime. And it is it was a good contest. It was a great match, and it had all the hallmarks of really a playoff kind of intensity. Obviously, they'll only see each other twice throughout the season, but it was a good contest, a good test for both teams. And yeah, you know, things are starting to take place, take shape. We're only about 15 games in to this NBA season. But it's the Lakers out west who have the best record in the NBA, sitting at 12-2. And we're just going to talk about LeBron James. Look, LeBron really doing everything. Let's just be honest here. LeBron is the Swiss Army knife. He is the Swiss Army knife of the NBA. He's the greatest player out there at multiple things, in terms of scoring, rebounding, assisting. And what he's doing so far this season in his 17th year is nothing short of remarkable. In his early years, he was a power player, really, in those early years. And then, you know, he worked out he had to shoot threes. Okay, the league changed. He had to shoot threes. So instead of just complaining about it, not doing anything about it, he goes out and says, well, I'm going to learn how to shoot threes. So he goes out and learns how to shoot threes. He became a top five player in three-point shooting at 6'9". At 6'9" in height, and probably looking at, what would 120 kilograms be a stretch? 120, 130 kilograms at 6'9". He worked out he had to shoot threes, so he goes out, learns the three-point, becomes top five in three-point shooting, okay, which is remarkable, really. And then this year, he decides, oh, we've got some new recruits coming in. We've got Anthony Davis coming in. You know, Kyle Kuzma, we've been fortunate enough to keep him. We've got Dwight Howard coming in. He's a bit of a train wreck. He's a bit of a mess. And LeBron goes, well, this year, let me play point guard. I'm going to play point guard. And people look at it and go, is that really a good idea? You know, where's Rondo going to play? Do you really want to be taking on that responsibility? And statistically, he's now the NBA's best point guard in the league, statistically speaking, putting up over 11 dimes a contest. It's just remarkable what's going on. Off to a phenomenal start, and Lakers 12-2. It is a long year, that's for sure. Averaging probably around about 35 minutes a contest right now. Probably don't want to go any higher than that, but he's just a real handful. There's no doubt about that. And as the season continues to progress, the bottom line is a healthy LeBron James has made the finals 8 straight years in a row before last season. And he got nicked up on Christmas Day against the Warriors, had that groin injury and was out. When he came back, you know, things had really unraveled for those Lakers with that young Lakers team. But he had them third in the West, even that team with Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram. Who else was out there? They had Josh Hart. He was a player there as well. Who else did they have there? They had they had a couple of other misfit players there as well. Lance Stevenson. Yeah, they had Lance Stevenson, who's limited. He's a bit of a circus act. But he had him third in the West. But the bottom line is, up until that point, a healthy LeBron James had made 8 straight finals, 8 straight years in the finals. So it really comes down to, you know, a healthy LeBron James. Who's going to stop him in May when it's all said and done? Because if he's healthy, he really hasn't been able to be stopped unless you had that outrageous Golden State team that was loaded with Curry, you know, Thompson, Green, Kevin Durant, you know, Livingston off the bench, loaded, absolutely loaded. And even then, When Kevin Love got hurt, Kyrie got hurt, he had Matthew Dellavedova as they went down 4-2. He wasn't able to be stopped. What was it against Iguodala? Was it Iguodala got Andre Iguodala got the MVP and LeBron averaged 36, 13 and 9 or something like that. You know, something outrageous. So he is absolutely just on a tear right now. And when he has, when he gets angry and he's got, you know, something to prove, it is scary what he does. And, you know, the Clippers today, you know, they can throw multiple guys at him come the business end. So maybe the Clippers can, you know, they can throw those guys at him. They've got, you know, Paul George working his way back in. They got Leonard. They got Beverly. They got multiple guys that you can continue to throw at him. But just remarkable what's going on with LeBron. Word is too, the Lakers are really looking to acquire Andre Iguodala, who's stuck on the pine in Memphis, I believe. I don't think he's even really played a whole lot, but look for the Lakers to acquire Andre Iguodala, which will give them more length, more experience, and more three-point shooting. I think if they get Iguodala, I think it's over. I really do. I think it's over. If you bring Iguodala in, I know he's not in his prime, but he can give you, you know, 16 to 20 minutes a night out there on the wing, can hit, shoot the open three, can play defense, and, you know, as I said, has great length and NBA Finals experience. I think if the Lakers get Iguodala, it puts them over the top. I think it puts them over the top. And as I said, they're already starting to pull away from some of these other teams in the West. Denver are hanging around. They beat Houston today. Houston have been going well, but it's really the James Harden show there. Russell Westbrook's done a tremendous job so far this year, shooting really good numbers, around about 47-48%. He is keeping it together, but they are a bit of a sideshow, the Rockets. Look, Harden's averaging somewhat of 39 points a game, and it's really absolutely ridiculous. The other evening, he had 22 three-point attempts. That's not just 22 shots. That's 22 three-point attempts from long range. So they're entertaining. There's no doubt about that. But it's all about James Harden and team basketball. Basketball, it's a team game. We've spoken about this time and time again on the show. We see it on sports panels all the time. An incredible one-on-one player is Harden, but they remain a bit of a circus act, and they got found out today by the Denver Nuggets, who are, I believe they're a legitimate team, the Denver Nuggets. A young team, got big Nikola Jokic, the Joker in the middle, as the season progresses, they're a team that they're legit, that's for sure. They play good team basketball. They've got a bunch of shooters, and they've got the big man in the middle who's a little bit unconventional. But look, they're a legit team. They're moved to about 10-3 on the year, the Rockets really, as I said, they only go as far as Harden can go, but if he's not willing to pass the ball, you know, they'll win their 55 games, that's for sure. But over seven games, I can't see them, you know, making it to the NBA Finals and coming out of the West. I believe it's the two LA teams, the Battle of Los Angeles, as we like to say here at No Holds Barred. And LeBron James so far has got to be the MVP of the season so far through the first 15 games. Leonard has already missed four or five games with the whole load management nonsense. We keep hearing it time and time again, and the Clippers have got to be a little bit nervous about that. The win today over the Celtics will release a little bit of pressure on the Clippers. Paul George coming back. He's been in good form since coming back. He looks like he hasn't missed a beat. He's looking very, very smooth, as he was today. Heck of a player. Heck of a player, that's for sure. Very, very smooth. Has long reach. They're going to be good on the perimeter. But it's this 1-2 punch of LeBron James and Anthony Davis that is setting the league alight. And the Lakers are the big brother. It's really as simple as that. They're making all the noise. LeBron's the flavor of the league once again. And, the Clippers, they've got to prove that they'll be there come the serious part of the season, but they're already 4 or 5 games back of the Lakers. So, you know, home court advantage, they play in the same building. Look, if LeBron's playing every game and the Lakers continue to win and Kawhi is sitting in street clothes on back-to-backs or, is carrying a little bit of an injury, it does not look good for the Clippers. Solid win today. They needed that one there. But it is all about LeBron James and the Lakers. It's what people are talking about, and so they should. Sitting at 12-2 and looking the goods, LeBron James is back, and he is proving to everybody in the basketball world that how great he is, and GOAT conversations have come up once again. It is a long season, but so far so good in Hollywood, and things are absolutely pumping. We'll talk more about this as the season continues. It's a hot topic, the LeBron Lakers and the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George and the Clippers. But the Lakers, the 1-2 punch, LeBron and Davis, they are hot right now. Best record in the league, and LeBron MVP in my eyes so far. This is the Kolf Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. We'll be back to wrap up the show. It's been a beauty. What a show. What a show. Fantastic episode. Plenty going on in the sports world. And as I said, that great time of year when the NFL season overlaps with the NBA season. The NBA season is, as I said, 15 games in, and I can't get enough of it. Watching games all the time, looking at scores all the time, and what LeBron's doing is truly remarkable in year 17. Quick shout out to Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. That young man put up another 30-point triple-double today against the Warriors, against the abysmal Warriors, we should say. They are copping some absolute pastings, the Golden State Warriors, and getting a little bit of medicine back from the last couple of years. Teams are enjoying that, but Luka Doncic is absolutely boiling out there. We could be looking at the next great generational player, and the Mavericks have got to be very, very excited about that. But needs a little bit of help there. Porzingis, he's been a bit slow to get moving, it may take some time there. But Doncic, they have a legitimate superstar right there. They're in Dallas. Mark Cuban got to be over the moon with that one there. But what a show. It's been fantastic. Coming up, the next show, we've got, as I said, plenty of NFL action coming up this weekend. Cowboys versus Patriots, Monday Night Football. Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson in action once again. We're going to bring it to you. And we've got the Davis Cup going on over there in Madrid, the new format, the controversial new format. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Australia have moved into the quarterfinals with Kyrgios and Dimonar leading the Aussie charge. We'll talk about the week-long event, Davis Cup, how it's changed, and whether or not it's a winner or it's not. Very controversial. But Australia into the quarterfinals, and we'll bring you more NBA action. There's no doubt about that. This show loves the NBA. We're going to talk about it nonstop. LeBron, Anthony Davis, the Lakers, the Clippers, and we'll continue to bring you all the action in the games and all the hot topics. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. It's been great bringing it to you. We will see you on the next show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Change, though. You got a phone. Pick it up, call me.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more. We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we hug no more. And I heard it through the grapevine, we even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, ain't a damn thing changed. Unless it's
so
young,
so full of life and vibrant. Side by side, wherever you was riding, I went so close, almost on some Bonnie and Clyde shit. When Ronnie died, you was right by my side, with a shoulder to cry on, a tissue to wipe my eyes, and a bucket to catch every tear I cried inside it. You even had the same type of childhood I did. Sometimes I just wanna know why. Is it the deuce that came to yours and mine? I survived it. You ran the streets, I 9 to 5'd it. We grew apart as time went by us, and I blew up to both yours and mine surprises. Now I feel a vibe, I just can't describe it. Much as your pride tries to hide it. Your cold, your touch, it's just like ice. In your eyes is a look of resentment. I can sense it and I don't like it.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more. We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we hug no more. And I heard it through the grapevine, we even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, ain't a damn thing changed.
It was my dream at first to be all spitting the first.